This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move farther into the prophet Zephaniah with The Great Day, Seek the Lord, Oracles Against the Nations, More Judgment, and Conversion of the Nations. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Yeah. reading from James chapter 4. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, have compassion on your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
The Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. That is the summary, that is the conclusion, the end of James and the whole epistle in that one line. Do what is right. And surprisingly, perhaps, St. Paul agrees. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. Romans 2:13. James, at the beginning of the epistle, says it this way, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. For the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. It is not enough to be a hearer of the word. You must also do the word, live the word. And that's hard, and frankly, not very gospel-y. But why? Why is it so hard? It's not because the law is so complicated or so complex or too far out of the reach. It's not as though God gave a word that no man could ever accomplish, for there is that one man, Jesus Christ. Our problem is not how big or deep, but it's that we refuse to live under it. We refuse to submit ourselves. We would rather be judge. We would rather be the one that calls the shots. We would rather make it so that we are the ones who determine what is right or wrong, or in any given moment, what ought to be done. We want to say what is the good thing that we are to do, and we fail to see that the judge is standing at the door. We don't live with a view to the end. We work right now. Everything is for the moment. Everything is temporary. It would be different if we had a view of the end. Everything in our lives would be different if it was all with this idea that Jesus actually is coming back. But we don't believe it. Or at least we don't live like we believe it. We are hearers of it. And in fact, perhaps we want to believe it. But when it comes down to the conversations in or out of the classroom, or in or out of our home with our spouse, we certainly don't speak like we believe it. James says that if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. That's the good thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. And yet, it's hard to love your neighbor as yourself when you're standing over him. When you are the one above, well, then it's hard to treat him as though he were you. You show partiality because of that. You bless some that may be useful to you or your advancement, and you curse or blaspheme or slander others that are so far beneath you that you have no use for them. And in so doing, you boast in your arrogance. So today, again, not a very gospel-y text, James says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers." The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver. There is only one judge. He who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Who are you? Who are you that thinks so highly of yourself, that would speak so arrogantly of yourself and so cruelly of your neighbor? You're not the judge. There is a judge. You're not him. You're not over the law. You're not over your neighbor. But you are under the law and under your neighbor. And under the one that is to come to judge the living and the dead. So do not judge, lest you too be judged. Do not slander your neighbor. Do not speak ill of him. Do not harm his reputation. But in everything, speak well of him and explain everything in the kindest way. It matters what you say. And in James' epistle, it seems particularly so that this was the problem. Listen for a moment to all the things that James has to say about our speech. In 1:19, he says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak." 1:26, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. This person's religion is worthless." 2:12, "So speak and act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty." And then the large section in chapter 3, "For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so they obey us and then they guide their whole bodies, and look at the ships also, though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are yet guided by a very small rudder. Wherever the will of the pilot directs, so also the tongue, a small member, and yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing, my brothers. These things ought not to be so. Again, in 3:14, he says, do not boast or be false to the truth. 5:9, do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. In 5:12, but above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. All of our false speaking, all of our anger and bitterness that we let out by way of our tongue to and against our neighbor, but most often about him, comes from not believing that Jesus actually is the judge, that Jesus is actually returning, and that he is returning soon. We speak as though the end would not come, and that right now, to our own advantage, is where everything relies. Have you noticed that even among us, how our speech changes when we're in the face of death? When we're consoling someone about to die, we're not frivolous with our words. Every word is weighed, carefully chosen. Not just because we don't want to say the wrong thing, but because at that moment your words actually matter. We speak in the face of death as though we are not the judge, but together under the judge. It changes us. Our words then become full of fear, and rightly so. Everything looks different at the end. And it's precisely with this view of the end that St. James has in mind for the Christians to whom he writes, for you. So humble yourselves, dear Christians. Humble yourselves, and as we heard on Wednesday, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And James says, therefore, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble, therefore, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. Draw near to God. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Be watchful. Mourn. Weep. Let your laughter turn to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord. Repent. The entire life of a Christian is one of repentance. The entire life of a Christian is one under the will of God. The entire life of the Christian is under this perfect law of liberty because it is under the life of Jesus Christ, who alone is God and judge, and not we ourselves. Thanks be to God for that. For he who is our judge, he who stands at the door, who is coming and coming soon, who comes to judge the living and the dead, is also that same God and Lord who submitted himself to his Father, who resisted the devil, who drew near to God, who cleansed his hands and purified his heart, who humbled himself even to the point of death, and death on the cross. Not just as an example, though certainly that too, but as the one that actually atoned for the sins of the world, who actually fulfilled the very law that he gave as the lawgiver. And he is our judge. And he speaks well of you. He doesn't slander you or curse you, but he blesses you with his word of life and sins forgiven. And he gives you now, by way of that same word, to share in his own divine life. He invites you to the end, to see everything from the end. So brothers, sisters, let us share that same view. Let it shape the way we speak, the way we think of one another, together standing under that law, under that word, under that Christ. So let us commend ourselves to one another, to God, blessing, encouraging, speaking well of one another, and all the more as the day approaches. For we are under him, and thanks be to God for that. For that is the right thing to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In our prayers, we pray for Lydia Elizabeth, newborn granddaughter of Pastor Douglas Christian, as she gains strength while in neonatal ICU. Strength is made perfect in weakness. Grant us humility and childlike faith, that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Almighty God, whose blessed Son did heal the sick and the lame, have mercy on Lydia, that she would be restored to health by your gracious and merciful will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.